traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson took a break from saving skyscrapers and stopping Godzilla from burning down the city. And he said, nope, I'm going to buy the fucking XFL for $15 million. This was dumb, bro. This was dumb.
This is not good.
Why?
Because I'm stressed out.
Okay.
I had a very notable explosion on a girl yesterday who,
Not just a girl.
My ex-assistant, bro. I went crazy.
You had
on
a
her.
Notable
your
explosion.
Your girlfriend's current assistant.
And my girlfriend, too. I flipped on her. Let me tell you a few things. Air conditioning, broken. Yeah. Hot water in my room, broken. Yeah. Gates, broken. Chef, broken.
Just trapped in this $7 million shit.
Broken.
Yep.
Nothing is working. I'm stressed out. It's meeting after fucking meeting after podcast after show. And I'm not complaining, but I'm fucking complaining, bro.
Right. Yeah, well, it must be hard.
Yeah, a lot of first world problems.
Well, because of Blue Chew, it's quite hard, actually. Today's sponsor.
No, please. Yeah, so welcome back to Impossible, number one podcast in the world. Man, I'm over COVID-19, so I'm dedicating the rest of my life to finding a cure. I'm not. Why has no one done that yet?
They're working on it.
Are they?
Yeah.
Please.
Not easy.
Because imagine this. Even if they do find a cure, what's good? How long is it going to take to roll this out to 5 to 7 billion people?
Did you see the thing? They were like, well, what will the military's role be in the COVID vaccine rollout? And Donald Trump was like, well, they will be. I can't even fucking do accents.
You only have one accent. We talked about this today.
Oh, the
it's pirate man.
It's me, True Geordi. Walk the plank. Walk the fucking plank, mate. No, but he's going to use the military in a very big and major way.
Powerful. Oh, he's going to shrink them to fight the bacteria.
To exterminate the vaccine. Cool. So he's going to, he's saying, like, if it comes
down to we're going
to
war with coronavirus.
Korea. Yes, North Korea, yes. So, yeah, the vaccine's, like, almost ready. There's some trials in place. And by the way, some fucking pharma company is about to make bank, bro.
Oh, yeah. I think Pfizer just
Pfizer's got, like, third phase or some shit. Contract,
Well, there we go. So I mean, that's good. You know what else is actually not so good, though?
Roll it on me.
Ellen DeGeneres. What's good? Turns out Ellen DeGeneres is a bitch.
Canceled.
Ellen?
With the stamp. Canceled.
Wow.
Bro.
She's trending on Twitter right now.
Major complaints of workplace toxicity that the angelic, always happy Ellen DeGeneres, who some are calling Ellen Degenerate now. No one's calling her that. But supposedly she's not as nice as people originally thought.
But you knew this. Come on.
I didn't. I think you knew it.
No one can actually expect Ellen to, like, her demeanor, not when she's on The Ellen Show, is not that one of inviting, open, generous, kind nature.
Yeah, she's got like 1 hour to be overly nice.
Hello,
and the rest
everybody.
Of the day,
it's me, Ellen.
But you can see cracks. Like, really watch people. Like, watch people's micro expressions. And sometimes they break when they're a little frustrated on air, or like something doesn't go their way, or they ask a question that you probably shouldn't be asking, but you can only do it because you're Ellen. Like, I met her in real life. Everyone in LA knows it. Like, she's a little short. I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes.
The talk show is now reportedly the focus of an internal investigation by its parent company, WarnerMedia, amid accusations of a toxic workplace culture, racism. Wow. That workplace toxicity got stuck in my throat, dude. Yeah. And sexual harassment, plunging the show into crisis, even with Ellen supposedly potentially not wanting to do the show anymore.
Do you think she'll ever go back to stand-up?
I hope not.
I don't think so. But this one guy said, there was a tweet that she has. I don't know if this is true. Like, someone fact check this.
Well, he's verified. It must be true.
She has a sensitive nose, so everyone must chew gum from a bowl outside her office before talking to her. And if she thinks you smell that day, you have to go home and shower.
At least she provides the gum. You know?
And we actually have that same workplace scenario here. Like, if you smell bad, dude, your ass is getting sent home. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't even shower because it's so hot water. So
you could. It's just cold.
I can't do shit.
And our gum isn't in a bowl outside the office. It's under the desk.
Under the desk.
That mic has been sticking there for years.
You got to chew Mike's old gum to be on it.
Here's the problem. Because there's also 36 independently corroborated sexual harassment stories that took place, again, behind the scenes, which...
Is it all women?
I don't think so. I also don't even know if that's remotely true, but I don't know. That's probably what I should have said.
What would you speculate?
I would have guessed probably not. I mean, 36? I mean, but
that's
also,
a lot.
But also maybe. Like, I saw
how do you cover
Tim
up
Dillon
36
was,
of those?
Tim
put
Dillon
her in jail.
Was making a joke. He said,
put her in jail.
He said, yo, you got Ellen, like, gifting Kristen Bell a sloth. On the show.
What?
And behind the scenes, like, you got Jimmy putting his dick on some poor girl.
God dang.
Like,
it wasn't Ellen with the sexual misconduct.
No, it was her employees. Exec producers.
It was the exec producers, but
Ellen's not employing them.
Okay, but all right, anyways, what they say is policy like this would major things like this is top down. Like, yo, if there's a toxic workplace with racism, sexual issues, like all that stuff, bro, the CEO is getting a headshot, dude. Like, that's just how it fucking goes. But I will say quickly, too, Scooter Braun did jump in to defend her, calling her kind, thoughtful, and courageous human being.
Bro, he's Scooter Braun. As
everyone knows, Dave Portnoy said, like, Scooter Braun. Well, that makes everything all right. Scooter Braun said she's a kind person.
She's not going to be a dick to Scooter Braun. Like, Scooter Braun comes in, you're going to shake his hand, you're going to look him in the eyes, you're not going to make him chew gum.
Everyone else
probably doesn't get a chance. Ellen doesn't know what's happening in her office because everyone's stinky, and she sends him home before she has a chance to see what's happening.
Like, they go to complain, and it's just garlic right in her face. Yeah. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. Leave.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of gum. Probably not Hubba Bubba.
If it was me, it would be the blue Eclipse.
Can you
imagine? Every piece of that gum is dark blue Eclipse.
Can you imagine? It's individual rolls of that bubble tape, and she makes you chew a whole roll.
You walk in, you can't even talk because there's just so much gum in your mouth.
Did you used to get that when you played Little League Baseball?
Of course. And
Big League Chew.
Yeah,
and
Big League Chew. But I was the dude that would take the whole roll out and chew it on the side.
What's wrong with you?
I know, guys. I can't be the only one.
You have a mullet, too.
I know. Well, that was a style choice. Because here's why. It's quarantine. I got my girl. I'm not trying to impress anyone, and I'm fucking bored. So, yeah, I'm going to grow this mullet out to the middle of my back. Here's what's happening. Ready? Here's why this is happening now. Again, we're back to the accountability conversation. So, in the past, these boomer celebs didn't really need to cater to anyone. You were famous. You made money. You're the shit, yo. Like, your employees, you don't really need to be nice to them, whatever, because guess what? They don't have a voice. Who are they going to go to? They're not going to go to anyone. Now that you got that there, Twitter, that there, social media, everyone has a voice and everyone can speak up. So these celebrities who used to no longer rely on people to be where they were in their life are now sort of subject to the experience of the people around them. Because if it's not good, they're going to be vocal about it. And if it's not good to a lot of people, it's going to be echoed throughout the community. And so these CEOs, that was weird, these are aliens.
Is that someone getting a haircut? Did you hear that?
These CEOs, these execs, these higher ups, the wealthy, the top tier on the top of the hierarchy, like, they have a responsibility now to just be fucking nice, like, be kind. How hard is it to just be? You're not, the days of entitlement are over, ladies and gentlemen. Be kind. It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Wow. Some Gandhi shit.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
What I think is might happen here, what I fear is, what if all these like cancellation people end up canceling all the actually kind of nice people, and the only people left are like the assholes that are uncancelable? Cancel Ellen, cancel all the people that are pretending to be nice. Me and the Nelk boys elevate Banks. Fucking Adam 22. They're like, yo, we can't cancel these guys. They're just assholes. Everyone knows it. And then we run the fucking world. did the cancel culture work? You fucked yourself. Now you got a bunch of fucking entirely. Assholes at the top. Dave Portnoy running the stock market. I'm running for president. Like, you fucked up. No, you had Ellen DeGeneres. All she did was make you chew gum. Couldn't deal with that, dude. Now look at you. Man.
So I wonder what's going to happen, you know, because it's hot and it's heated in the moment. That's how this cancel culture tends to go. Everyone's like tweeting away with their heavy thumbs. But in a week, like, will people care? Maybe. You know, this it will plague her for a while. We'll see what happens.
Has she said anything?
I'm looking at a hashtag right now, hashtag replace Ellen. She did issue an apology. I'm not sure what it was, but I say replace Ellen with David Dobrik.
Oh, I thought you meant
the
videographer.
That's we talked about it a long time ago.
I think he could do it. Yeah. Can you imagine?
It might be the time. Would he still be would still be the Ellen show or would it be the David show?
Probably wouldn't be the Ellen show, Mac.
Why not?
Because his name's David.
I mean, you just got to keep that legacy going, right? Long live Ellen.
I don't think so.
Somebody was already talking about a replacement for her. Who's the late night talk show dude that sings with David Dobrik?
James Corden.
Yeah, James Corden.
He's sharp. He's going to
do daytime and then nighttime. That's a long day for that guy.
It's clocked.
He's got to drive around in his car and sing with people all day. How's he going to do that? Yeah. Can't do both.
Dwayne Johnson bought the XFL, bought a piece of it.
How did that
happen? Dwayne The Rock fucking Johnson paid $15 million. To co-own the XFL. The XFL, so what is it? It's like a B-list NFL. It's a football league.
Extreme football league.
And is that what it stands for? Yeah. The X?
They didn't even put the E in.
No, because they want to be cool.
Yeah.
What makes it so extreme? Do you know?
Just you know, overall extremity, bro. I mean, there's no limit to how extreme it could be.
Right.
They're like suplexing people off the goalpost and stuff. It's a wrestler's league, right?
I think they were like days away from officially declaring bankruptcy, and fucking Dwayne The Rock Johnson took a break from saving skyscrapers and stopping Godzilla from burning down the city. And he said, nope. I'm gonna buy the fucking XFL for $15
million.
This was dumb, bro. This was dumb,
bro. Anytime you could buy any kind of league, air quotes, for 15 M's, bro, you're probably making you can't even franchise a McDonald's for that price. I don't think. I think it's more than that to franchise a McDonald's. He bought a fucking league. Like, we could have gathered some shekels and bought the fucking league.
I know.
Are you fucking me, bro?
Except here's the issue. I fucking wouldn't have. Because it's dumb. Bro, there's a reason they were about to go out of business. Like, I will say this. I'm saying this now, and I don't think the XFL is going to go anywhere. But if anyone can turn it around, it's the fucking Rock. And if he does, he'll go down in the books even more than he already was going down in the books. Like, pulling that out up from the graveyard and reviving the XFL, why it might work is because he is so genuine and authentic as a leader and businessman. He said he bought it for two reasons. One, the love of the game. Loves football. I don't know if you guys know Dwayne Johnson's story, but he thought he was going to go to the NFL. Had some horrible injuries. At the time, you know, like anyone who had a dream, he thought his life was over. Turns out to be the best mishap of his life, because then he had the $7 in his pocket and went out to Hollywood and made a career for himself, became a WWE superstar. Now he's one of the biggest entertainers in the world. Number two, giving the fans, the audience, the people what they want, serving the people. If you can serve the customer and the consumer and you love the thing you're doing, there's a recipe there. The business model and the business that he's in might be a bit harder to, again, rehabilitate, but there's a recipe. If there's one person that should be leading the helm and can make it happen, it's D fucking J.
Oh my God, bro. I don't know enough. I won't speak on it because I don't know enough about the business, why it was so, like, honestly, that 15M price tag to me is just hilarious. Like, you imagine him sitting at the 50-yard line, if they even have one of those in the XFL, and, like, they're like, yeah, why are you at the game? Like, some fat, pudgy fuck drinking out of a red cup, because I'm sure that's who goes to those games. He's like, yeah, what do you do, Rock Johnson, for the league? And he's like, I actually bought it. One day I was bored, so I just wrote, I wired 15 M's over to Vince McMahon, who, by the way, who he bought it off of.
You're lying.
Yeah.
I should also mention his business partner, Danny Garcia.
Right.
Bought it with him,
yeah.
Who used to be his wife. Which,
wait, so I'm sorry.
There's an interesting dynamic here. Do you know about this?
No.
So here, look at the Rock. So he was married to Danny Garcia, who was his wife, and I believe he had his first kid with.
and now they're business partners, and he's remarried. And I remember on Baywatch, I was watching the interaction, and it was so interesting how like how professional they were. Like they truly split as romantic partners and really just became business partners, and it's working. And again, he's remarried, and his current wife doesn't have a problem with him working with his ex-wife and baby mama.
She got a problem.
She probably has a problem.
And let me tell you something else. You know who else got a problem? Danny. Okay, because let me tell you this, bro. I can imagine being in one of those business meetings. They're like, okay, like the business people come out. They're like, okay, we've got the structure of the deal laid out for you. It gives you $32 million for you, Dwayne The Rock, and $18 million for you, Danny. And she's like, and Dwayne's like, what'd you say? And she's like, $18 million, huh? Even though I sat through that time you fucked Tanya in Miami Beach, 1996, motherfucker. No. And all of a sudden, you've got that past indiscretions rolling in and affecting the business.
Bro, you
got
to understand, these people aren't like us. They're literally machine people.
Oh, really? Like, actually?
Wait, actually? Yes.
Machine people.
First off, look at this, dude. Are you kidding me? These are machine humans. Man. They don't operate like us. They don't sleep our hours. They don't eat the things we do. On Baywatch, dog, I saw him eating oil. He was drinking oil.
What kind of, like castor
oil? He's a robot.
Motor Wait, oil. So that lady could choke out Bradley Martin. Easily. And by the way, just a quick teaser. I told y'all last episode I was going to make the Bradley Martin Bryce Hall fight happen. It fucking happened. And it was atrocious.
It was
he saw the footage of it. This was, I would consider this a felony, between a felony and a potential aggravated homicidal attempt. Bryce, I'm not even going to tell you. Maybe Bryce was the winner. Maybe he wasn't. But I'll tell you this, the video's coming out. When you watch this, it's dropping tomorrow, and it's fucking, it's bad, dude.
It's pretty ruthless.
TikTok gone for the ever. What Never you, coming
that's
back.
That's not true.
It's already gone.
It's not true.
No, it's not. But Donald Trump has, as if he couldn't upset people, some people more, he said he don't fuck with TikTok. He said, I don't fuck with it, dude. It's not my vibe.
Yeah, he said, I don't fuck with TikTok.
Yeah, I don't like Chinese people, and it's over.
He said that?
No. But he just said, you know, this is a massive security risk and they don't want to play ball. And by the way, like maybe he's right. I don't fucking know.
He gave TikTok 45 days to sell to an American.
So by September 15th, it looks like they have to strike the deal with it. It probably will end up being Microsoft. Otherwise, Trump is going to fucking say, you're fired to fucking TikTok
goodbye.
And Addison Rae was tweeting at her old school LSU or hometown school, like, yo, I got to get back
still
in.
Up.
Yeah, you still there at LSU. You up?
You up right now?
It's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of these TikTokers are about to become college students. Well, what did you do? What's your degree in? TikTok. But now it's computer finance.
I'm a CAD draw. I draw CAD paintings. So, yeah, I mean, that's scary.
Are you going to miss it, though? Is anyone going to miss TikTok?
I will. I think I can speak for
There's
every,
gonna be
every
another
millennial
one.
And Gen Z when I say I'll miss TikTok. I missed. I mean, I don't. It's not gone.
I feel like it's cursed to always be a 15 seconds of fame thing. Vine, 6 seconds. It only like lasted in the grand scheme of things. A short period of time. TikTok, short period of time.
How crazy is that?
Like if the thing is up for your videos are 15 seconds long, you're not going to have longevity out of that.
So you're saying the
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Type of content posted on the platform is indicative of the longevity of the platform.
Wow.
Currently, that's the trend. I would say yes.
But
we'll
this
see.
One's not.
We'll see with Trailer. We'll see with Byte, right? That's the other one.
Don't, no.
But I mean, they're like, yo, if TikTok doesn't sell, they got what? They have a $110 billion valuation or something? Like,
more
wow.
Than
something crazy.
What, TikTok? TikTok's upside 180B.
But who's going to say, who buys that?
Bill Gates, I don't know. Microsoft, I mean, that's always the question. No, they can't even acquire that. It's too big of an acquisition. I mean, it'd have to be some sort of, I don't even fucking know.
Well,
maybe
if you're
like,
forced to sell by the president, you have to.
Well, no, I think that, by the way, I think they're only liquidating the U.S. operations.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I say we get the biggest TikTok stars in the world. Let's do like 1 million followers plus. We gather them all in a Facebook group. coordinate a time to show up outside of the White House and do a renegade dance all at the same time in protest that you keep our app. Mm-hmm. I think we can make enough noise and shake our hips and our asses just enough that we can convince Donald Trump. And by the way, when we're there outside, everyone just be telling Donald how great he is.
100%.
Beat his ego.
100%. Get him in the TikTok. Get him in it.
Put him at the front.
Put him in, let him lead it, bro.
Like, let him, like, I want to see the president throw it back.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think he could win over a lot of the younger, like, Democrat and, like, as they, as his side call him, like, the bleeding heart liberals by tossing it back one time.
Once.
You know what I'm saying? Just
I'm
to
not
throw
asking
it
you to do it a
back.
Lot.
Bro, you we get it. He can't walk down a fucking ramp. That doesn't mean he can't yoss that shit back for a real one.
Or hit, Are you fucking kidding me? If the president, I swear to God, if the president hit one woe,
world peace, world
he
peace.
He would win the election.
World peace.
I swear, I yo, straight if Donald up. Trump went, with the
Game
noise,
over.
With the noise, with the little pop smoke, grr, he went, grr. He would win
bitch.
The election.
I just thought of an idea. I know who could save TikTok.
It's got to be
Donald Trump.
Alexander Cooper from Call Her Daddy.
No. It's actually a man who's come to the rescue very recently.
Casey Neistat.
No, one more guess.
Roman Atwood.
The Rock.
Roman Polanski.
Fuck it, The Rock's buying TikTok.
I don't think he can afford that.
TikTok Rock.
Speaking of coming to the rescue.
TikTok Rock.
Baseball's back. Sports. Bro, fucking sports. Bro, honestly, I'm watching the Twitter the other day. Sports.
Wait, is this
over
a,
to you, Logan.
Is this a dream?
No.
Is this really happening? Is the NBA actually returning in less than a week? You're damn right it is. Mark your calendars, folks. This week, the NBA makes as much anticipated return to action with the slate of games, and the Lakers still considered the favorites to win it all. I can think of no better way to get in on the action than by placing a bet in mybookie.ag. Bet you didn't see that ad read coming, did you? With mybookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, and they pay. MyBookie is the only online sportsbook that loves the NBA as much as you do. That's why they have over 150 different bets for you to choose from. Will any team go 8-0 after the restart? How many points will LeBron average? Who's winning on opening day, the Lakers or the Clippers? All these bets and more are available at mybookie.ag. But remember, even Kawhi Leonard warms up before playing, so be sure to check out MyBookie's other offerings, like up-to-the-minute odds on UFC and MLB. With thousands of lines and a host of props, MyBookie's the only name you need to remember when it comes to getting action in on the games you watch. Join today, and MyBookie will double your first deposit, and not only will they match you dollar for dollar, they're also throwing in a free $10 NBA future bet. Just enter the promo code Logan to claim when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
Wow, nice job on the ad read.
Appreciate you.
I like my bookie. You know why? We got the same initials.
MB. Yes. Macklin Bilski.
That's me.
I got something to talk about.
Me too.
And
you go first.
No, you go first.
I got beef.
Mine's beef related too.
Yeah, let's start flipping patties, huh?
All right, ready for this? 6ix9ine released a new song yesterday. And the internet caught a slight blaze. I wouldn't call it a fucking wildfire like it normally is when he posts. Because I think that his clout is starting to trickle off.
I called this.
Yeah.
I called this. People are going to stop giving a fuck. Like, we get it. We get it. You're the dude who snitched and then somehow got out of jail and got rainbow hair.
And loud, you make
the occasional banger, and it's like your music's somewhat listenable too, and makes, you know, Tatianas want to shake their ass. We get it. I said this. I think in 6 months to a year, people are gonna be scrolling by his Instagram posts a little faster.
Yeah, I took a bike ride yesterday after he released Chochi, Yaya,
Punani.
It's always something like that.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Oh, it's okay.
And I want to know why. Why do I feel the way I do towards him? He's never hurt me in any way. He's never done anything to make me upset. And I know people thoroughly enjoy his music. There's a little pudgy little kid in his fucking cul-de-sac right now riding his bike around with four pegs on it that he's never going to grind anything, but he's riding around with four fucking pegs and he's like, fucking, I'm mad, he mad, yeah, big mad, you mad. And his mom's like, Jimmy, get in here, you fucking scumbag, it's time for dinner. That's happening. And who am I to fucking take that kid's happiness away? Yeah. So I'm riding my bike in my loser ass biking outfit, which no one could take anything I say seriously in. Okay, what? No, it's a great outfit. I know that, but I just look like a weirdo in it. I'm thinking to myself, why am I so upset? Why do I have this guttural, just upset reaction to 6ix9ine? And everybody's always like, yo, yeah, he snitched, but hip hop ain't about the streets anymore. Hip hop ain't about doing gang shit no more. Not too long ago, though, it was. That is what hip hop is rooted in. Hip hop is rooted in the criminal life and in the fucking streets, bro. Okay. And as someone who had every narcotics related decision in my life decided for me by Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, 50, Lloyd Banks, Jada, all the way up to, I even got respect for Shmurda and all these dudes that are saying, shine, dude. I realized yesterday that the reason I have F's on my rap sheet and the reason why I had to go in front of a judge in the first place was because of snitches. All of my arrests were because of snitches. And in my line of my old line of work, at first, snitches ended up in ditches. Then it turned into snitches get stitches. But now snitches get bitches? What the fuck happened? What happened? Like, yo, this motherfucker has deemed it cool to be a snitch. Okay, so once again, no problem with his music, no problem with his fans, no problem with his rise to fame, no jealousy, no problem with his clout. I love it. Biggest thing on YouTube, get your money, boy. But where is the culture right now? Meek Mill, you were supposed to fire back at this motherfucker. You're from the streets. You're from Philly. The whole fucking city fucks with you, bro. Why have you not done anything? Where are the street dudes? Why is the culture just deemed this okay? That's my only question. I just want to know, why is a white kid from Connecticut giving culture lessons right now?
You're going to hate this answer. You're going to hate it.
What is it?
It's because of the art.
And I hate to even say that. And take art with a grain of salt, but it's because of the art. Do you know how hard it is for people to celebrate a person from their art?
Celebrate a person?
Separate, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Separate.
Got it.
Like Michael Jackson's a good example.
A lot of people don't give a fuck about what he did.
R. Kelly. So some people still rock Remix to Ignition. That I'm sorry,
that's
bro.
At every wedding.
Yo, he Well, he pissed on some people.
Yeah, he pissed on
some
people.
Young people. Yeah. And bro, by the way, horrible. Yeah. Horrible. But if I'm driving down the street in Lana's Lambo and Remix to Ignition comes on, I'm lowering the windows, I'm bumping the shit to 100 and blowing the fucking speakers.
I don't think
out.
You are. I'm calling your bluff. I don't think you are.
No,
because I thought I was like you. I thought I was like you. I'll do the first hook. I'm out. You go past the first hook, you're going to hell.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. Here's what I think, Mike. You go to a trash can outside a restaurant. You're throwing away your garbage. You just finished a great meal from that Italian joint down the street that you used to go to in New York all the time. You open the lid of that trash can. Oh, what do you see? You see a rat sitting right on top of that trash. Do you go out of your way to chase that rat down and kill it? Or do you just throw your trash away, put the lid on, let the thing go on, live its life as a rat in a trash can?
This seems tricky, and I get it. I'm with you. I hear you. But when I go on Twitter, and there's a 17-year-old kid who is listing his top 10 rappers of all time. And just before Enele Choppa and the other five people he's listed after it, motherfucking 6ix9ine is number one. Jay ain't on the list. Big ain't on the list. Pac ain't on the list. The culture has fucked us. And I will make another point here. I believe a part of the problem is motherfucking white money. Wow, crazy. Another thing from a fucking white kid to say. But as soon as hip-hop became mainstream and all the white money rolled in, the culture's defense of mortal sins like snitching and giving up your set and fucking doing all the shit that happens and wearing dresses as a rapper, the culture that used to say, nope, not fucking happening. When we see you, no more. That culture doesn't exist anymore because when the money starts rolling in by the billions from Alabama, from Louisiana, from fucking Idaho, from Montana, when little Jimmy's riding his bike Russia. Around the cul-de-sac, but he's like, Mom, you got to get me 6ix9ine's new album. And the mom's like, if you take your ADHD meds, Jimmy, I'll buy you 6ix9ine's new album. And that happens. The culture turns a blind eye because they valued money more than the culture, bro. I truly believe that's what's happened. And I, like I said, once again, 6ix9ine, get your Fashion Nova money, get the YouTube views, get all of it. But what I would love to see someone step up and be like, yo, at least we don't, some people have said we don't condone it. Some people have been like, yo, this dude, like, you know, turned informant. Like, do you want to, you know how many opportunities I had sitting in front of investigators and they were like, cause that's the other excuse that the people on Twitter use. Anybody would have done that in his position. Bobby Shmurda is still in jail. Shine did what, a fucking decade for that Diddy shooting when he lit that club up? Nobody snitched.
Yeah, but
not everybody would do it. That's the whole point of being a fucking G, bro. Not everybody would do it.
I think we're in an interesting time, which I've started to call the verification era. So, like, the thing with Ellen, everyone has, you know, this equal platform to spread their voice and verify whether or not someone's actually a good person or a bad person.
Right.
It's becoming increasingly difficult to keep, you know, shit that should be hidden, or not even hidden. You just, things come to the surface very quickly. And I guess in 6ix9ine's case, he was just like, yo, screw it. I'm out on this gang shit, which now, of course, he runs around the town with 100 people, whatever.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? I mean, is that safe?
He has to. He doesn't have a choice.
No. Is it safe that he's out in the public in the middle of the city that he forsaked?
Did he forsake the city? I don't know. Well, I mean, do we continue to glorify gang violence or, you know, gang activity that is potentially negative and can hurt the greater whole, the community that it's a part of? I think it's the culture Mike's talking about. I mean, Mike, you're having an issue because you're unable to forgive your past or your drug dealing. You still have some connection to that.
But I mean, even
it's cool to honor it, but I don't think it's great to glorify gang violence or drug dealing.
But that's what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is he got to where he is by glorifying gang violence.
Absolutely.
And still, like, even in his last song, like, pull up at the burger spot with a, I don't even know what the fucking lyric
I'll
is.
Find
with
it.
A chopper or some
I'm
shit, right?
Find it.
So he's still glorifying gang violence, even though, and riding that wave of the culture, even though he doesn't follow the rules of that culture. I don't know.
He's young. I think you're looking at it short. I think long term he'll fall off in his songs that are now 1 minute and 40 seconds that are just him yelling absolutely nothing. people will fall out of favor of those.
It's not nothing. He's saying some real good stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
Guzzle it, eat it, she a doggy ass bitch, muzzle up her shit, she just want the ecstasy and shit, trippy in this
all
bitch.
Right, listen.
Yeah, I mean, bitch will pop.
Songbird of a generation for sure.
Songbird.
But,
he's saying some real, I mean, that stuff is fucking eons of wisdom in those syllables. There's collectively only a total of about probably 10 to 12 words using this entire song, which is talent in itself.
Impressive. The Beatles had something very similar. I think 90%, something like 60% of the words in Hey Jude are na 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 na.
Oh yeah, that's quality shit though.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck it. If we see.
What comes
after a rainstorm? 6ix9ine's rainbow hair. Rainbow
pot of gold.
Where you going? I had a question for Michael. Are you so hot that you can't answer this question?
There's a heat wave in LA right now. It's like 110 fuck.
I have to text my dad every day to make sure he hasn't burned up in a forest fire at the ranch.
How hot is it out there?
Real hot. And those signs you drive by with the little Smokey the Bear says
fire danger
today. Level chance of fire. It's always on high.
It's like extreme level.
He sent me a picture over the mountain. There was a giant smoke cloud.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's hot.
That's scary.
He put it on his Snapchat. He said, "Wow, this is, the clouds are beautiful."
Lay it on me. What do you got?
Right, that was a shitty, just horrible, fucking horribly delivered joke. Okay, so here's what happened. I took Josie on a date. I try to do dates maybe once a month.
Yeah,
I'm not a super traditional guy. I'm not like the best dater because when I go on dates, I'm still me. I'm still very much me. I'm just a kid trying to have fun, 25 years old, running around Santa Monica, Hollywood, LA, not really knowing what he's doing. Just want to impress my girl, have a good time with her. Josie gets real mature. Not real mature, but she definitely like levels up.
Yeah. It's date like night. Like she goes into date mode.
Yep. Her posture straightens up a little bit.
Right.
She gets taller because of those heels that she puts on. Yep. She's smiling a little bit more than usual. And I'm like, dang, like she's such a good date partner. And I want to be a good date partner too, you know? So I'm opening the doors. It's not like I'm not cordial. Everything I'm doing is ace. It's fucking ace. But she asked me, sometimes when we're in public, we'll be hanging out, she asked me to hold her purse.
No, the answer's fucking no.
Okay,
dude.
Okay, help.
The answer's no. Amara does this to me all the time. She's like, babe, hold my purse. I'm like, I'm not.
In public.
In public. It was in one of my last vlogs. I'm like, I'm not holding your fucking purse. Someone's going to see us.
Bro.
And take a fucking picture of. Bro. Why do you want me to hold a 1 pound object? It's a power play. It's a power play.
I know it is.
What, are you saving her bodily harm by? The purse is nothing.
I know. Just set it on the, do something. Set it somewhere. Because I will give everything to this girl. But for some reason, she hands me her purse. Like, I hold it, mind you, but I ain't doing it out in the open. I held it and ducked behind a car. I crawled under a Chevy. I will not hold the purse out. Dude, I don't know something about it. Mind you, I'm the dude who says, yo, be a simp. Pay for everything. Mm. Open the door for your girl. Send her flowers when she's working on set. Everything. I cannot hold her purse in public. I don't know why.
Big purse, small purse.
Small purse. It's blue. It's Gucci. It looks like a girl's purse. I can't be the only guy who does this. Please comment below. Mm. If you're listening to this, I need to know. Is there a solution here? Are we wrong? Are we being misogynistic? No. Like fucks?
No, absolutely not.
I'm in the don't carry the purse in the first place kind of thing.
What if, like, you have things?
Like what?
And moreover, I don't know if you know this because you're single, but girls use purses as an accessory to their outfit.
Absolutely, so, I totally understand. I'm in the fashion world. I get it, but okay. You don't need it sometimes.
Correct, but on that one date night a month, bro, you give it your all. Dog, I put on a button down.
What?
I wore a Laurel Piana open shoes. My fucking ankles were showing.
This was when you went to the Crab House?
Yeah, so good, by the way.
I gave you that recommendation.
You are drenched.
Bro, honestly, dude, I'm gonna hit some. You know what it is, too? Ever since we got that face surgery, where we got the shots in our face, my face has been bluster fucking red, and I can't fucking make it. Because
you got white blood cells in there, puffing out your skin and making you look young. All right. But yeah, I don't know. I got no problem being a simp.
It's a tough one to hold the purse. It just kind of
I've always had an issue with it.
What was the circumstance leading up to it? Like, why did you have to hold the purse?
I don't know. She needs to tie a shoe, put a coat on, whatever. Hey, wait, that's the better question. That's the better question. What circumstance would she be unable to do because she's holding a purse?
I could see putting a coat on, but for 1 second.
Say? It did have a strap. That's what I'm saying. I don't need to. This isn't. It's not necessary.
She wants you to be nice. That's what Mike's saying.
That's what Mike's saying. It's a power play. It's to see how much your boyfriend will simp for you. I ain't fucking buying it, Josie. All right? We're going to find a nice shelf for you to set your purse on. Or if you do give it to me, I'm out. For the time being.
Seems like Josie's been causing a lot of problems for people around here. Me included. I got beef with you, Paul.
Oh, what we got? Okay.
Mike, I'm sure you're part of this. I know Dave's a part of it, too.
Is this your beef that you're talking about?
This is it, man. All vegetarian beef. I was upset. I got a phone call. Two phone calls, 11 o'clock at night. Just hopped out of the shower. Had a nice, relaxing evening. All of a sudden, I get this phone call from Josie. Hey, Mac, I'm just wondering, are you with Logan right now?
Yeah.
No. Why would I get that call? What's going on here? What am I supposed to do in this situation? Okay.
She said, Logan said he's with you.
Yeah.
Are you with him right now?
Yeah. So I'm primed to now I'm being put in a position where I either have to lie, just completely tell the truth that I'm not, or figure out a gray area to navigate some strange waters that I don't want to be in.
Well, my turkey's ready in the microwave.
That is the aliens.
They're trying to communicate
with me. Bro. It was the TV!
Wow.
All right,
so we got
gray area, gray water to navigate, some waters that I got to navigate through that I don't want to be in. I don't want to be in this spot.
Right.
And, you know, what I say is not, Josie, I just got out of the shower. I haven't seen him. She's like, but 20 minutes ago. I was like, I just had gotten in the shower.
Yep.
And, you know, I didn't lie.
Yep.
I said I was with you recently because
yep.
I was.
Yep.
And that I had just gotten in the shower, and that was about all I had. But you punked us, man. You played us, and you manipulated us, and it hurt. And I didn't like it at all. I don't ever want to be put in that position.
So let me get this straight. You're mad because you didn't have my back?
Huh?
You're mad because you didn't have...
I did not have your back. I didn't have any backs. I put myself... I took myself out of the situation.
So then what's the beef?
No spine.
What's the beef?
Man, why you do that to us?
Yeah, that was
to
wild. See,
to check my boys.
Everybody passed.
No one passed except Georgie.
No, no one. So no, now, hold on.
Here's
a second,
the question.
Hold on a second. That's
here's
not,
the question.
That's actually not true. Well, let me fucking say this because I knew that you were gonna say that. What was George gonna do when she was like, "Oh, Logan, can I talk to Logan on your phone? Like, why does he keep calling from his?"
Boys,
phone?
This is a game about quick thinking and loyalty.
Yeah, here was my quick thinking. He didn't lie. I was just with him. Not now. That worked perfectly.
Exactly.
Right.
It literally
worked
perfectly.
It didn't. I wouldn't say that.
Technically,
it worked, but I wouldn't say worked perfect. George's picture perfect.
Execution. I'm with him right now, but he's in the bathroom. He said he'll call you back.
Which is Josie said, "What would you do if you got this call from any boys, girls?" And before we called George, I said, "I'd probably say he's like pooping or something. I'll go get him for you, but he's gonna have to call you later because he's in the bathroom." And George said that exact same thing.
And here's where I detract or walk away from that. What if she 2 seconds later is like, "Oh shit, I just remembered I have George's location and Logan's location." Like here's the thing.
She doesn't,
but what if she did? So here's why I say this. I always handle those situations in a way where I walk the line between a direct and broken lie and the truth.
So
let me tell you why. She could have never said what you just said is untrue. Like everything there was no way for her to find out that I was not telling the truth. George's was easily detectable that if you didn't call back, like if she was just like, "Yo, have Logan call from your phone so I know that he's with you."
But let me ask you this. Worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. Because let's be honest, you guys love Josie. You like Josie, whatever the verb is. Or what figure of part of speech is that? Like adverb? Is that an adjective? No, it's I think it's an adverb.
It's a word.
Yeah.
It's definitely a word.
Way you feel about her, at the end of the fucking day, you got no loyalty to Josie compared to me, right?
Of course.
Worst case scenario, she catches you in a lie. Yeah, I fucking lied to boy. What do you want?
Well, here's where I'll draw the line with that. I have a loyalty to myself first as a truth teller before to you.
You and I both know that's not true.
100% true.
No, 100%.
Bro, you have no idea the amount of times I've had to sit in front of... it's not true. This part's not true. So let me back it up before I say a lie.
Nice.
Off to a horrible start.
Okay, let me say. The amount of times I had to sit in front of someone and tell them something that I so easily could have lied about that hurts so bad to tell the truth on because I simply don't lie. I don't do it. I don't fucking lie about anything. I tell simply 100%.
You tell your truth.
It is my brand.
But you and I both know
to
that's
tell
not true.
100% of the truth all the fucking truth. Time. I don't. To me,
there is a difference.
If my truth to me is my truth, then me telling it is the truth to me.
Okay.
No other way to tell the truth about truth.
Because truth shouldn't be subjective.
Right? Give me an example. Give me an example.
According to quantum physics, truth can be subjective because according to quantum physics, because everyone perceives everything differently. But when it comes to like cut and dry situations that are. Something is this black, is this white? Like you can't.
I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I have not told a actual lie in so fuck. I can't even remember the last fucking lie I told. It's been more than a decade.
I can tell you. You know
which one?
The whole issue with the shrimp.
That was 1000% a miscommunication, and we never even got to. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. You asked me a specific question that. I did not have an answer to at the time because I didn't recall the conversation. I answered it in fast-paced motion without thinking back to the...
Right, so you told your truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Which wasn't the
absolute truth.
No, no, no. But it was me telling the
your
truth.
Your truth.
Sometimes people say things for self-preservation. So my issue with this situation, it's okay. You guys are going to keep going on about this. You guys are going to keep going on about this. It's going to draw a divide. You're not going to like
it. Okay, let me finish this. If you adjust a statement for self-preservation, that's not the truth. That is not the truth. Right. That is not what I did. I told the truth to the best of my ability.
Which was
100% to the best of my ability. If you ask, okay, if I ask you a question that you do not have the answer to, and you give me your answer to the best of your ability, you have told the truth. Logan, what's 100 times 9,657? If you give me an answer and I'm like, actually, that's wrong, man. You still told the truth.
That
you
is
told me your vert. You told me
the dumbest shit.
No, you told me.
I've heard.
You told me.
In my life.
In a situation like that, it'd be better to just say, I don't know. But in this situation, I felt pressured to lie, and I don't personally like to lie. And when someone puts me in a position where I have to lie, I feel uncomfortable, and I don't like that at all.
I get that.
Yeah. So that's why I was disappointed.
Which is what he's saying as well. Which is what he's saying.
So we don't want to be put in that position.
Because in general, I totally fucking agree with you. I'm just saying, you know, just it's hard to say absolute. It's like I'll sit here and tell you right now, I don't tell the truth 100% of the time. I'm a really fucking honest person.
Yeah.
But I lie. When I need to fucking lie.
I never do. I'm dead serious.
I gotta check
you. I just don't.
I gotta check
you. If you gave me a better example than that one, because that one's like, yo, honestly, like, your truth is based on intent and the knowledge that you have of a situation at the time. That's all you can have. If your intent is, I'm gonna go into the situation and tell exactly the truth of what I know. That's exactly what I did. I said everything I fucking know. You asked me a very specific detail about a meaningless conversation that I have a million a fucking day. Didn't give a fuck about it. I was sitting in your bedroom talking to you. You asked me a very specific detail. It was way outside my random access memory, and I told the truth based on the intent of telling the truth and the information I had at the time. If you do that, I believe you have satisfied the prerequisites for telling the truth. That is what I believe. I mean, we could probably even find a definition of what it means to tell the truth, but I guarantee you that if it's intent to tell the truth and using the information you have at the time to do so, you are probably covered in probably even in a court of law.
Maybe.
We could dig into this more. Yeah. This is a metaphorical or metaphysical conversation. Like, it's like, who knows what, are you actually bad?
No, not anymore. I mean,
you were.
I was at the time. I mean, it's like, it sucks. I don't want to be put in a position where I have to like make up a story that, you know, then when I get, if for example, it were the truth that Logan Paul was running around on his girlfriend and I then came up with a lie and then had to defend myself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who gives a fuck?
Me personally, I don't want to be in that position because like to tell the truth, and I don't have
So that's the other thing. Like, to each his own, different strokes for different folks. Your loyalty to yourself was more important than your loyalty to your friend at the moment.
In that situation, of course.
Yeah, that's
which is fine. Like some people are. That's how they operate.
And I did not have your back. I just didn't.
No, also
say
bro,
anything. That's
how I am on it too, though, because like I'm not. If my boy is like being a scumbag. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to make a story.
I told Josie this too. I told Josie this too. I said,
like, act right. Dude.
I said, you got a house full of people who really hold each other like accountable to the highest degree. Like you just don't have a house full of cheaters and scumbags. Like,
I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I would never throw you under the bus.
For sure.
But like, am I going to be like, he's right next to me. Unfortunately, we're doing a prank right now where his mouth and hands are taped, and it's a Mr. Beast type prank where we have to wait 24 hours for him to. No, I'm not gonna fucking do that. You gotta dig. Let's put it this way. I will help you, like, smoke with a smoke screen.
Yeah.
But you gotta dig your way out of your own bullshit.
I agree. Feel me? I agree. Honestly, boys, good chance I probably would have done the same shit as you. Like, we're friends for a reason. Like, I don't like lying.
Yeah.
So it depends. I don't know what the circumstance is, but I understood. That's the whole point of the thing. Let's see where their heads are at during this time.
Yeah. You're testing us, man.
That's the idea.
I don't know.
It made for some good quality content.
Oh, yeah. It was for content.
We called.
Did you say that?
It was for content.
Yeah. It was for Logan's current vlog. But also, no one said, no. What if it had gone the other way really bad, though? And one of the guys was like, yo, Josie, like, between me and you, like, I know he's like, imagine one of us did that.
I would have fucking, because that's a lie. Like, I'm the best boyfriend.
No, that's what
planet.
I'm saying. But so like, I would have. But like, what? Yeah, like one of them was like, I mean, but like, yo, if like you hit me up, like I would treat you better. Like, what if that happened? Like, what if that happened? Like, one of them was like, Evan was just like, yo, I just want to let you know, like, I seen the way you've been looking at me when I'm in the fridge. Like, yo, can you imagine? That's why those pranks are scary.
Oh, they're bad.
We have a big prank set up this week with another household that is like. You never know which way these pranks are going to... Like, yo, there are so many pranks, like, even with, like, Nelk Boys with Italian shit like that, where... Dude, like, remember when they used to run up on dudes in the hood?
Yeah.
Like, bro, you can get shot,
when the outcome
bro.
Is uncertain, you just got to be... You got to be real Ready. Tricky. Yeah. You got to be real tricky.
Yeah.
We called one of Josie's friends. I called her. Guess what the dynamic Whoa. Was like for girls? Believe it or not, they're a bit smarter than us, boys.
She loves Covering you. She, tracks. I know she would never do any. Like, did they go into the at thing or what was it?
She didn't answer, and then she called Josie and said,
"Why is Logan?"
I said, "What's up, girl? What we doing? What's the plan?" I said, "Damn, these girls slick."
But,
I think you're gonna say what I'm about to. What I said to her.
It's because we're not friends. It's because they're not friends with you. Like we are with Josie. Like, Josie's maybe. Here 24/7. Yeah. Like, you don't have that relationship. Like, we're all super tight with Josie. Like, you're not super, super yeah. day in and day out tight with those girls. Like, when Josie hit me up, I was like, oh, she's probably with Logan, probably wants to hang out.
Or ask a question or...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Like, hey, is this microwave really going to blow up if I use it? Why is there no hot water? Why is there...
Yeah, and then
broken?
You get spammed with a, my boyfriend's cheating on me question. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's tricky.
Shit hurt.
Oh, and... The dynamic you didn't understand too is that I had
That's
Lana
why had
in the
pass.
Background.
That's why you had a pass.
I had Lana in the background, and
you
we
just
were
came
on
from
speaker.
Dinner. And you just came from dinner at a yeah. public place. Where like clearly I wasn't with you,
right?
So you got pass.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
All right, because I could have got caught if I lied big time.
Big time.
And she would have been like, "Yo, I never trust you. I'll never trust you again, bro."
Amara was pissed at her, right?
she said she was 1 second. Away from, because she was drinking too that night, because we were at Catch, and she said she was 1 second away from, trust your instincts, girl, trust your instincts, like the whole background shit, and she was like, I'm happy I didn't say anything crazy.
You know what's crazy? Astronauts just came back from a satellite just orbiting the Earth. How no, crazy is
that's
that?
That's crazy.
They landed in the ocean.
And Elon Musk is planning on interplanetary travel.
With Tom Cruise.
Tom Hanks?
That doesn't surprise me.
No, Tom Cruise trying to go to space and film a movie up there.
I thought you were saying Tom
Hanks. That fucking guy.
Does all his own stunts.
I want to be the first YouTuber to vlog in space, but something tells me Mr. Beast is climbing a 100 million foot ladder up there as we speak.
Made of Legos.
With giant clown shoes on.
Made of cash.
Just cash. He stacked his money so high he could get to space.
I brought up something earlier that we haven't talked about yet. My face has been so hot and so fucking red. Mentioned this earlier from our little spa day. We went and got, I don't know if you guys can notice.
David.
David was on his fucking.
I know.
He's texting. He's like, hello, Eve. I'm so sad that you're in Canada. I do love you very much, so much, much. And we're like, Dave, you were actually on a show here. I don't know if you fucking know that or not. But yeah, part of the, like, the fifth reason why I started sweating. You know, obviously nerves, anxiety, heat, but also the fucking
PRP.
We got shot up in the fucking face, bro.
White blood cells are back in our face.
Do we look better?
Yes,
I've been
we do.
Getting crazy yeah. compliments yep. from Amara and from other people like, yo, you look shiny, yep. you look fresh,
shiny.
You look renewed. They stuck, for lack of a better way of putting it, needles into our faces, Mac. They
over
shoved
and over again, right?
Fucking needles. Like, bro, imagine it was like a little delicate lady like this. Dude, no, bro. They had Jack the Ripper jabbing us in the face with motherfucking needles, bro. Pow, pow. Blood is arterial spray. Brain matter, dude.
Like you Just would with an EpiPen?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Over and over. And Logan's like... This really hurts, but it's worth it because Hollywood, bro, crazy.
But it was good because the stuff they were putting in is our own blood.
Weird.
So they took our blood out.
Oof.
They retrieved it, put it in I believe it's called a coagulator.
Yeah.
Spin it around, get all the white blood cells out, then inject those, which are apparently like healthy healing cells, back into your skin. So at this moment in time, we're fixing. We're healing our faces. With a very natural process. I'm sure there'll be
super
a time
natural.
Where
very, very natural.
Botox. And What do you mean? It's natural. It's our own blood. Yeah, there's no, there's no added.
What part of taking blood out with needles, spinning it around in a machine, and injecting it into your face over and over again is natural?
The technology. It's just technology. We just figured out. We're gaming this. We beat life. We beat life.
We Mr. Beast did our faces.
That's what I'm saying. Got it. Gotcha. You tried. Hey, bitch. You tried to age us, and it didn't work this time.
It was crazy.
Gotcha.
It was like I never thought a day would come that I was, you know, putting adrenochrome into my face.
No.
And Logan was like, yo, there was this adrenochrome, Mike. Like, you understand this comes from the liver of a young octopus who died in fear, right? And I'm like, dude, like, is it going to make me look like I'm not dying?
No. Did you ever see Ellen pressing Sandra Bullock about that?
Yes! That was so weird, yeah, dude. She's like, well, what do you use for your face, Ellen? And to Sandra Bullock, Sandra was like, I use this. It's this crazy stuff. It's like taken from like children.
Kind of.
Right? Is that what she said?
Something like that.
She's
but
like,
it was
it's taken
like,
from
it
like children.
Gross.
And Ellen's like, taken from children? What are you talking about? She's like, it happens like overseas. Like, they like take it from children.
They say the liberal elite have a secret child trafficking ring and they extract a drug called adrenochrome from these children. So what happens? You get them real scared, then you take their blood?
No. You don't get them scared and take their blood. You get them scared and then you kill them.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. Yeah. Who the fuck would want to do that, dude? I guess they're saying Tom Hanks. Who to me was always just Sully, man. He just got lost on an island one time. Seems like a nice enough fella. I just didn't know that he was going
to. Tom Hanks keeps getting in plane crashes and ended up on islands and saving people. And what's the deal with that?
I'm sorry, but I believe that this stuff is open to some level of either ridicule or at least intense investigation before we're just believing this shit. One of my favorite actors from Road to Perdition. He took a picture of fucking gloves and he's scaring kids with a scream mask and then fucking hatching them. No, I'm gonna ask questions about that. I'm sorry, you're not gonna take away my fucking God-given right to ask questions about that.
Not Sully.
But some people like Sandra Bullock and clearly she did something where she's taking blood or something from kids, right?
What?
Like that's what I'm saying. Like it's she talked about
say,
it on
she
Ellen.
She did say that.
Why did she say? Why would? Why
well,
did
she probably
she
felt
was,
right.
It
she no. She probably
likes
felt
to tell
right.
The truth.
She probably felt right at home talking about that in at Ellen's show because it's such a toxic place, bro. She was like, if I'm gonna talk about fucking scaring the shit out of little 4-year olds, I'm gonna do it with this psychopath Ellen. Just as long as she doesn't make me chew a gob of gum.
Vanity can take you to some dark places. I'm telling you. You want to care about how much you look? You might have to do some dark shit.
I watched this documentary with this guy. It's called Don't Fuck With Cats.
Don't Fuck Cats.
On Netflix. Don't Fuck Cats.
Don't Fuck Cats don't fuck?
Sorry, Don't Fuck With Cats.
Okay, big
but also Don't Fuck Cats.
Please don't. Okay. You watch that on Netflix?
You watch the show?
Very good documentary. I will go as documentary series. I will go as far to say as that it's a masterpiece.
Really?
Masterpiece.
I've heard all about
10
it.
Out of 10. They do not miss a beat. It is riveting. Maybe one beat. There was a part dragged on, but I don't even know.
What are they talking about? What's the show about?
Perfect. Okay, check this. This is fucking crazy. All right, some dude, some sick fuck, put these two little kittens in a vacuum sealed bag and sucked the air out of it. Okay? Posted the video online. Kittens dying, suffocating in this bag. This group formed on Facebook that pretty much pledged to find the sick fuck.
Yeah, it's fucked.
So they did all this research on like, yo, there was a yellow vacuum in this frame. You can only buy that vacuum in North America.
Oh, boy.
This type of cigarette, native to Canada. So they think they have this guy, and they are trying to nail him. They ended up targeting and harassing the wrong guy at one point.
Ugh.
That dude ended up killing himself.
Oh,
real dark. And so now they're hesitant to just point fingers, whatever. And yeah. And the leads they're getting pointed them in so many different directions they didn't know where to go. Finally, one day, an anonymous message from one of the like blank Facebook accounts with like a sunset as a profile picture, like not an actual human, said the person you're looking for is a guy by the name of Luca Magnotta. So they start doing
gangster.
It was a gangster, right? Yeah. So they start doing research on this guy named Luca Magnotta, and it's like this model, and there's a bunch of fan pages on this guy, and like on YouTube, and like Google search results, Luca Magnotta, and spoiler alert, yeah. And long story short, Luca Magnotta is this narcissistic, just fucking weirdo who littered the web with pictures of himself
and pretended to be other people and would comment on his own pictures. Yo, you're so hot, sexy guy, you're a prince, whatever. And he's this like monotone, really dreary kind of just an odd human. Mm-hmm. Just like you, this is a person you look at, you go, something's not ticking in that human's brain. And you could tell by some of the interviews they did and stuff. And it turns out he was leading this Facebook group on this wild, pun intended, cat and mouse chase to find him while he continued to post more videos. Tied a fucking cat to the end of a broomstick, put it in a bathtub, drowned the cat, fed a cat to a python. Bro. So the Facebook group goes, this is a serial killer. Early signs of a serial killer. They're killing animals. Everyone knows that. They try to reach out to the Toronto Police Department because that's where they targeted it. Finally, after pinpointing and reverse engineering and geotagging the location of some of the pictures he took, they got a coordinates at the Eaton Mall, something in Toronto. Contacted the police department. They ignored him. Said, yo, this guy's sick. He's a sicko. You need to stop him now. He's going to kill someone. Can you guess what fucking happened?
He killed somebody.
Videotaped it, dismembered him, sent his limbs to the fucking political parties in Canada. Sicko.
Wait, so this is like...
it's real dark.
This is like Tiger King on steroids.
On steroids. And Tiger King missed beats. It got redundant and boring. This one doesn't. The people they interviewed were very articulate. It was the people who kind of ran the group. And so they referred to themselves as computer nerds. Very smart. There's a guy and a girl. Bowdy Movin was one of the names. And John Green was one of the names.
God dang. That's some dark shit. You know, Netflix is Netflix, right?
They're going for it, yeah.
They are just winning. Because I want to watch that. I'm stuck on a show right now that I was telling you about before called Love on the Spectrum. And it's all about documenting autistic people going on dates with other autistic people.
That's nice.
It's a great show. It's fascinating viewing. My concern is just like every time I watch it, I'm like I don't know how I feel about it. And to make matters even greater or to raise the stakes, they were like, yo, all right, like this is gonna be crazy. We're gonna have autistic people date other autistic people. We're gonna show it on TV. Some brainiac in the fucking brand team throws a curveball. Oi, mate, why don't we do it in Australia? Are you Australian autistic people? That is where they really raise the fucking bar. Mm. And so every date goes the same way. They're like, oh, hello. And the other one's like, hello. And he's like, so why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your hobbies and interests? And the other one goes, I like basketball and mowing the lawn. Do you live with your parents? Yeah, it's very interesting to me to see what interactions come out of that.
I would like to talk to the producer and creator of that show and see what
their intent the goal is. Yeah,
see what so, they're fucking it. Because is it to mock and ridicule?
Absolutely not.
Because bro, some of these documentary shows are fucked up.
I agree. They're fucked.
Dog. In the one I just described, Don't Fuck with Cats. Some of the people they interviewed just to get the sound bites and walk us through the story of what people felt when they first saw this video of the guy killing the cats. They'd have these poor people watch the video there. Watch the video of the dude being dismembered.
Actual murder?
Bro, all of them. They'd sit there and film these people who have already lived this and have been traumatized by this and had to deal with the repercussions in their own life. Like this girl, Bowdy Movin, she had to go to her boss because eventually this Luca Magnotta was targeting her and posted a video of the casino that she works at. She had to go to her boss and was like, yo, like, I don't know how to say this, but like, my life is maybe in danger and maybe yours is too. After work, I go home and I try to find a cat killer in a Facebook group. It's just like a traumatizing, like semi-embarrassing, vulnerable experience. And having them watch the videos of like cats dying and people getting murdered on screen just to get a talking point for your documentary. As someone who like understands film and storytelling, I get it. Makes for a great story. In real life, it's fucked up. So in real life, when you're watching this and there's two like vulnerable, like young autistic people trying to pursue a real romantic relationship and there's fucking giant Netflix cameras in their face, is it wrong?
They even like throws, I, I think they like sometimes throw a little bit of like zany music in too. Like, and so I'm just like,
how much of it is for like the education of other people?
So I watch it. I think that's fine. I watch it with Amara, and she constantly says that because 90% of the time I'm watching, I'm like, this is fascinating viewing. Like, this is fantastic to watch. I'm learning so much. And it's, I'm rooting for the people. Come on, Michael, you got this dude named Michael. Yeah. But then like every couple episodes, I'll turn to her at one point and go, babe, I don't want to watch this right now. Like honestly, like there have been a couple of times where like I've like started to like tear up a little bit, and I'm like thinking about like why it does feel like you're watching someone else's like misery like play out sometimes. And she always looks at me and she goes, "This show, I bet, is doing more to reduce the stigma of dating in the autistics world than any show ever in the history of television." So while you're she doesn't talk like this, obviously, but while your concern is certifiably understandable, like she doesn't say that, obviously I say that, but she's like, well, I get what you're saying. Like at the same time, like you have to understand like what this is doing for the space.
Sure,
and I think she's right. Sure. And so, but I agree with you. I think about that all the time. I'm like, yo, like, why it feels so invasive? Like these poor people.
You know? It's like all reality TV. Having Harry on here, dude, could you imagine living in a room with a whole bunch of cameras watching you do everything that you do?
But when you include the aspect of like traumatic experience into it, or also like lifelong
like a disability
it always starts to like, because like who do you think they asked for permission from to get that camera access?
I'd love to
like,
know
because most of them live with their parents. Did they say, yo, hey, like we're creating a
Just say it
in a pirate accent.
We're creating a show about autism and dating first dates, and we'd like to see if you'd like your son to walk the plank.
Yeah, like who's the guardian that signs off on that?
They're like, wow, I mean, True Geordi seems like a nice enough fella. Like, I think we could create this show.
Yeah, interesting.
Just sign on the dotted line.
Yo, and then I always like to know the intent of these Netflix shows. Like Netflix is a layer deeper than their competition with their original series. Like even at the very end, and why my dad always taught me when I was young, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. And at the very end of the show, these computer nerds, body moving, she asked the question. She goes, yo, this dude wanted to become famous no matter what. His modeling career didn't take off. And he was a narcissist. He wanted to see himself on TV. He idolized... Catch Me If You Can, Casablanca, movies where he was, there was a villain, and he hit the killing, that the murder he committed was, it was picture perfect with I can't remember the name of the movie, matched identical to the way this girl killed this dude in this movie with an ice pick straddling him, identical. He painted a screwdriver to look like an ice pick. So the intent was, and why I like the way this ended, was because the question she had to ask herself was, yo, by chasing this guy and feeding into his shit and us trying to catch him, did we lead him to go bigger and better? Did we lead him on this cat chase? Yeah. And so she has to live with that and find the answer to the question herself. But then she turns to the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and says, you, viewer.
You did this.
You just watched an entire documentary on a serial killer, Luca Magnotta. You gave him the attention she wanted. Are you being complicit?
Was that the end of the show?
Yes. She never made direct eye contact with the camera at the end. She looks through your fucking soul, bro.
That's just—it's too much, man.
How did you feel? Do you feel guilty, ashamed for having killed that person? Because I mean, in reality, like you—I didn't watch it. I didn't want blood on my hands. You have blood on your hands.
The intent is like, yo, we're giving these horrible people attention.
Yeah.
When we should stop? Maybe she said, maybe it's time to shut down the machine. It'll never happen. It's not realistic. Humans are fascinated by both the successes, the best parts of humanity, and the worst parts of humanity. It'll never happen. Good luck.
Wow, dude.
I think when Hollywood first started and they were filming movies and stuff, there were some laws that were passed about not making movies that show explicitly how to do crimes. And then also, if you were to have a villain, the villain couldn't really win. Like, you had...
Interesting.
I learned about this in a film class, a long time ago. I don't remember the exact law, but there were specific regulations that you couldn't make movies that show exactly how to do a crime. Like in Ocean's 11, like you don't see everything that they're doing on how to steal jewels from.
Yeah.
You know, but
Basic Instinct was the movie that he was copying. Oh my God. Sharon Stone was having sex with the guy.
Yeah.
And then stabbed with an ice pick. This dude's a sicko. He's in jail serving life in prison right now. They let him get married. They let him get married in jail, dude.
Who would marry him? And why?
Some other sick fuck. But like,
is that person free? Are they being interrogated? I don't know. Questioned?
And yo, it's crazy. They interviewed his mom, this delusional psycho.
Was the mom crazy too?
She goes, "You guys got it all wrong." She goes, "Luca's not the guy you think he, my son would never do." She goes, "Dog," she said it so nonchalantly when the cops first showed up to her house. She's like, "Whoa, is this about the cat videos?"
Because she filmed them. She probably sat there and held the fucking camera, bro. The apple don't fall far from the fucking tree.
Guess not, she crazy. On a completely different note.
Yeah, what do you got?
And my last note before we sign off. Consuming content has been, you know, at its peak now that we're in quarantine. We've been watching some Joe Rogan podcasts. Just clicked on a podcast he did with a guy by the name of David Cho. David Cho, you know who he is?
I've heard the name.
This might ring a bell. This is, I hate dwindling his life, which I now know about.
Down to the end of the show.
Down to this one thing that he's like known for. But after listening to Rogan, he is experienced, wise, 360 degree human. Mm-hmm. But he's the guy who, when Facebook was first starting, they hired an artist to paint a mural.
Oh, yes.
To paint a mural.
What, do you get 1%?
He said it's going to be 60K. And Sean Parker said, I'll pay you at 60K. I'll give you stock options.
What was it?
And I advise you to take the stock options. And he did. He's worth $200 million.
How much? What did he get? Point, or was it 0.1%?
I don't know what it was.
But I remember this story.
$200 million now. It's this guy. But watching him on Joe Rogan, you'd never know. You'd never know that he wasn't on there for that. He's done everything. Dog, he's hitchhiked. He's lived with tribes in the Congo. I watched this thing about him going on baboon hunts. Dog, he told this one story about how he got lost in a forest in the Congo looking for a dinosaur. It was his life goal. He was 18 years old. He needed to find this dinosaur.
Did he find it?
He never found it. But
is it because they're
extinct? He got, bro, in the Congo, it's like thick jungle that you have to navigate. And as a city boy, he had no fucking idea what he was doing. And so he described this story about, this is my favorite part of the podcast. He described the story about getting lost in the Congo. He said, "You have ever been lost in a jungle, like, and had to say this to yourself? I'm going to die here. I'm going to die here. This is where I'm going to die, in this jungle."
Right.
And he was talking about how he was with this guy. He was some like up and coming political candidate in Germany. He was a kid, but he came to the Congo because he had this like obsession with black women. He just wanted to fuck as many black women as he could. And they were going on their expedition together to find the dinosaur. And this dude, this German dude, was belittling him the whole time. Like, "Hey, give me your rations. Oh, you just got water. I'm going to go ahead and drink that." Just like belittling David Cho this whole time during their trip. And, you know, 2 days in, you kind of being an asshole. 5 days in, "Yo, you should probably cut this shit because now we're alone and I'm not sure if we're going to live. And like, I'm having bad thoughts." 12 days in, David Cho said, "I'm going to fucking kill this guy because I'm going to die and I hate him. I'm not going to die with this guy.
Right.
I ain't going to die with this fucking asshole. And if worst comes to worst, I have to eat him." Ugh. Can you imagine? Yo, in real life, having to ask yourself the question of like, do I have to kill this dude who I hate to survive?
And then eat him?
And the way he's describing the story, although it's fucked up, he rationalizes a very like last case scenario thought.
Yeah.
That like any human would have. If you hate, this dude is eating all your food, you're starving, he ate the last ration, he doesn't give a fuck, completely clocked out. They both lost their mind. You can imagine what kind of state they are in his human. He lost 40 pounds, David chose 90 pounds. And so he decides he's going to fucking kill the dude.
Yeah.
Dude sleeping one night. David Cho goes and grabs a big old rock. Holds it above his head. He's standing there. Doesn't even have to throw it down, bro. If he just releases his grip, the dude's dead.
Sees the dinosaur. He sees the fucking dinosaur.
Am I really about to kill this? Is there anything left? Is there any sliver of hope left?
Looks to his right.
I have to kill this guy. There's a Chick-fil-A. There's like Five Guys. takes a couple more deep breaths.
Guy's not there. It's nice fake.
He goes, I gotta fucking kill this guy. And then he puts the rock down because he's not a murderer. He said he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it.
You gotta watch it.
You have to watch it. I'm literally telling the story for him. Point is, like, I highly recommend this Joe Rogan podcast with David Cho. I've been texting him. I DM'd him. I was like, yo, you're fucking incredible. Like, I want to have him on this podcast or even just sit down with him and talk to him. He's like you could learn so much from this dude and the experiences and stuff he's done. In many ways, like, you, like, sort of in a miraculous way, he probably shouldn't be alive. Just happened to skate on the brink of life, and now he is, and he's thriving, obviously.
I watched a video today about him getting locked up in solitary confinement in Japan.
Really?
He punched a cop who thought he was stealing something, and he spent months in solitary confinement. Like, he's been around the block, man.
He's really done a lot.
The
global block. Bring up this point about, and definitely not the time to get into it, but you bring up this point about having to kill someone that you hate to continue living, and, like, if you'd be able to do that, raise the stakes on you and say, can you imagine you were in a place with someone you loved?
So what,
you're just gonna die holding hands?
Yep.
Not neither of you are gonna, or do you, you know, just gather some leaves, some pine nuts from the local, do a little foraging, some salt and pepper.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he tried that.
Get a pot together. No, I'm talking about if you're with someone that you love.
You
pull together a little bit of porcelain, you stir it together, create a nice little broth going.
And you boil yourselves.
And then you kill yourself. For the loved one. So Josie can eat a skewered LP opposed to dying. And she takes some nice salt and pepper on your ankle, your ankle meat.
I bet
your cheeks would grill up.
I have a
plan. You got decent cheeks, especially after the PRP.
They're good.
They look healthy. They look tasty.
Yeah. I have a plan.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to live that bad where I have to kill someone I love. And David Cho actually made it longer than I would. If this dude was being a dick, absolute asshole, on day 10, I go, yo, I tell him, I'm probably going to kill you, like, if you don't shut the fuck up now.
Well, you saw me do it yesterday. I mean, the thing I started the episode on. I got to day 10 yesterday on my old assistant.
Oh, yeah.
I day 10'd her ass, bro. Yeah. I snapped.
Because you can only push someone so far.
Bro, I say it. You never really know who a bull is. But if you poke pretty much anybody long enough, eventually the bull is going to give you the fucking horns. And just when you take shot after shot after shot after shot, it's like when you get bullied in school. It's like people that got bullied in school. And then one day, they're not going to get bullied anymore. Yep. And they turn the fucking heat up.
Open up a can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
But here's what I would do. Realistically, I'm stuck. Me and Joe's stuck in the Congo. It's day 10. We're doing the Congo, stuck in the Congo.
Okay, got you.
It's day 10, we're starving, I've lost 50 pounds, I'm walking around about $1.60. I'd be able to start a fire, first off. I'd probably remove a limb and apply a tourniquet.
Where, like a tourniquet made of palm leaves? Like, where are you going
to
get the tourniquet?
Don't know. I'd probably use my braiding skills to find vines.
Well, you were the king of vines.
Why wouldn't you just, like, eat the vines? Or leaves.
Because I'm not a primate. I'm sophisticated. So you're going to cut your arm. That's goddamn
right.
It's
a carnivore.
Not an arm. Don't be stupid. Legs.
So you have an even harder time moving through the Congo.
Maybe I am stupid.
You tell this.
Maybe I'm dumb here.
You tell this David Cho.
I haven't thought about this.
You tell this David Cho. If he was the man he says he is, he would have been eating fucking dinosaur. Because he would have found that fucking dinosaur.
Apparently it's hard to find.
Not how hard can it be to find? If you go to the Congo.
Let's give it a shot then.
If you go to the Congo looking for a dinosaur, complete the fucking mission.
He tried.
No.
He ran into pygmies.
You know,
he ran into pygmies, Michael.
Saved him.
Do you know how many people looking for California, Lewis and Clark, ran into motherfuckers that got in their way? They found the fucking dinosaur. Bro, listen to me. He should have found that fucking Brontosaurus. Everybody that looks for Bigfoot.
California is so much bigger than the dinosaur and Bigfoot.
No, apparently this thing is real. Everyone he asked, the locals, the pygmies, everyone he asked said, yes, it's here. It's around this river. That's in, like, the heart of the Congo.
You think they're just giving them a version of their truth?
Great way to end this. Yeah, probably.
Probably. They probably saw something, and in their mind, you know, the memory in the mind is a weird thing. If you believe something, it can make it happen, come true, and seem true. All right, thanks for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. A lot of weird shit. David Trell, we watch on the podcast. Also, we're going to go back, find that dinosaur after you're done building the school in Tanzania.
Bradley Martin, Bryce Hall, episode tomorrow.
It's coming.
Also, Limit Edition, go buy this if you can.
I got a big painting coming up. I'm going to live stream some cool shit. You're going to like it. Big painting.
Big painting.
You're not as good a painter as Logan.
On my YouTube channel, Mac.
You're not as good a painter as Logan.
I'm so much better.
Dude, I saw his painting. You're going to see his painting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right?
Wednesday. Painted Josie nude.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.